preparing for giving the sermon today, I was in a bit of a quandary. I've had two sermons prepared, and I kept going back and forth. Which one should I give? One was about preparing for the feast, and the other one was the one I'm going to give you. I actually thought about bringing both up here and didn't ask for a show of hands. Which would you rather? But I thought, no, I'll just make a decision and go with it. This world is extremely aggressive and hurtful towards one another. It becomes more so every day. You don't have to look very hard to find aggression in the world around us. It's amazing how quickly some turn to be aggressive and to literally threaten and challenge other people, especially out on the roadways, which that is some of the most dangerous times to be aggressive. I mean, lives are at risk out on the roadways when you become aggressive behind the wheel of your car. Well, recently I've been examining myself, and I can see where the aggressiveness in this world has worn off on me as well. Too often, I find myself being too aggressive. And I guess somewhat because of my job being responsible for contractors that are working in the city, making sure that they live up to the standards that the city of Oakwood wants in their construction projects, and too often dealing with contractors, they want to cut their corners, they want to do it the fastest and the shortest way with the least amount of effort. Sometimes you get yourself into situations where you have the opportunity to be aggressive to others. So I find myself too often being aggressive when I shouldn't be, because that is the way of the world. And I'm not proud of that. It's just the fact that I can see it from time to time coming out in me. And too often, when you're aggressive, in my case, the example I use is around the workplace, when you get in that frame of mind, I've found that you carry it with you. Even when you leave the workplace, you carry it with you, and you can even take it back to your loved ones at home. Because you get an aggressiveness, I've found, is a state of mind. That you allow yourself to come into that state of mind, and if you don't say, wait a minute, this is wrong, I shouldn't be this way, you'll continue to carry an aggressive state of mind with you. And it doesn't matter where you are. You can bring an aggressive state of mind even into church if you don't stop and recognize it in yourself and put it aside, to walk away from it. See, being aggressive towards others, whether it be a family member, whether it be a brother at church, or someone in the world, or you're at the workplace, or at school, is not what God has called us to become or to be. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 14 and 15. There's a lot of wisdom in these two verses. And it says a lot about what God has called us to become, on how we are to live our life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." All things without complaining or disputing. How different would our lives be if we just mastered that one thing? Two things. No complaining, no arguing, no disputing. So it would be a big difference in my life, maybe in your life, if we did these things without complaining and disputing. Verse 15 says that you may become blameless and harmless. You see, when you have an attitude of complaining and disputing things or arguing about things, you become harmful. God says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse, and I might add, aggressive generation, a harmful generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If someone in the world comes up to you in an aggressive way, and you don't respond in kind, that is noticeable by them. That is being a light to the world. Because most people, when they come at someone else aggressively, they expect it in return. Most people, if I am aggressive and I go in an argumentative way towards someone else, I know that I'm going to expect it in return. If I don't receive that in return, that makes me stop and think. It makes me stop and think about myself. Therefore, you become a light and example even to the world. Jesus Christ was a shining example of being a harmless person. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about the example that he set, that the scriptures brings out about him as a person. Jesus Christ was harmless, completely harmless to others, even to the worst of his enemies. Jesus Christ was completely harmless. John was inspired to proclaim, as he saw Christ approaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now he proclaimed that, and Christ was called that, because he fulfilled the past physical symbol of the sacrificial lamb, because Jesus Christ was to be the sacrificial lamb for all of mankind. But truly, that concept and that ideal of a lamb and the harmlessness of a lamb fit Christ's personality completely. It wasn't just because of him being a sacrificial lamb, but that whole concept of a little lamb, as harmless as they are, fit Christ perfectly. Jesus Christ was truly the Lamb of God in every sense of the word. He was gentle and he was harmless to all. To call Christ the Lamb of God was a perfect depiction of who he was as a person. Paul said, as we read, that we are to become blameless and harmless children of God. Well, today, I would like to look at the example that Christ set before us in becoming harmless. And we'll see how we are also to handle aggression. The title for my sermon today is Living a Harmless Life. Living a Harmless Life. I think I've got 4 points here. But I don't want to get confused because for some reason or other I have two number 2 points. The first point, which I'm not confused on, Christ was completely harmless. Christ was completely harmless. Simply put, he set our standard of harmlessness. He set the standard that all of us should look for and fashion and mold our life to. Christ lived the definition of a harmless person. If you had to describe somebody that lived an absolutely harmless life, Jesus Christ is the perfect example. As much as the Pharisees tried to provoke Christ and to do harm to him, he never retaliated in kind. He never did. And they tried and tried to go after Jesus Christ. Verbally, physically, they tried to bring harm to him. And in every instance, clear up to his last breath, he was completely harmless, no matter what came against him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. We'll read on down through verse 21. This is a very good description in these verses of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the harmless man of God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." It's not a casual statement. They were looking to see how they could destroy Jesus Christ. They didn't like anything that he stood for. They were extremely aggressive towards Jesus Christ. And he knew it. Jesus Christ was not ignorant of the desires or the heart of the Pharisees. He knew that their desire was to destroy him, to destroy his message, to destroy everything that he stood for. And notice what it says in verse 15. "But when Jesus knew it," he knew that they were coming and that their hearts were despicably evil and aggressive. "He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," now notice what it says about Jesus Christ, the man, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. And he will not quarrel nor cry out." That is a prophecy of who Jesus Christ was to be, spoken back in the Old Testament. "He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." He didn't stand up and walk up and down the streets parading himself. His message was not about that kind of spirit. He was to show forth the spirit that comes from God through him, which was gentleness and harmlessness. Notice what it says in verse 20. "A bruised reed he will not break." A bruised reed is already a damaged reed. It said he would be so kind and so gentle that he wouldn't even hurt an already hurt reed. "The smoking flax he will not quench until he sends forth justice to victory." You see, Jesus Christ came as a physical being, setting an example of how we are to live our life of kindness, is that a word? And harmlessness. But when Jesus Christ returns the second time, he's not going to be that kind of a lamb. It says right there, "till he sends forth justice to victory." When Jesus Christ comes the next time, then he will come in power and strength and might, and he will execute his Father's will and judgment upon Satan and Satan's government and Satan's society. So make no mistake that Jesus Christ was a weak man, but he was harmless to everything around him, including his greatest enemies. Verse 21 goes on to say, "And his name Gentiles will trust." In other words, it's saying, in Jesus Christ, this whole world will eventually trust. They will trust in Jesus Christ. Christ was a gentle man, ready and willing to give comfort to all. He didn't discriminate. He was there showing his power by his miracles and his healing touch on all that would listen and hear his message. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Just back a chapter. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. From Christ's own mouth, these words are spoken, showing that he is there to give comfort to those in that day and age that would hear, but also to us as well. because we have that spiritual connection with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ offers rest and comfort. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we need to always remember that. We need to carry that idea, that concept of Jesus Christ and His way, always in our mind and in our heart. And when we experience the burdens of life, the difficulties of life, we need to make sure that we don't blame God for those. Because all the burdens, all the difficulties that we experience in life are due to Satan's rebellion. And due to too much and too often us yielding to Satan's temptations, yielding to Satan's pulls to go in a wrong direction brings discomfort and difficulties on us. Jesus Christ said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His way is not the burden in our life. His way should be giving us the comfort and the relief from the difficult moments of life. Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. We're all very familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's a short chapter, but it shows David's understanding of the comfort that Jesus Christ offers us all. When he talks about the Lord being his shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not be in need. He knew that his shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Lord, would be his provider, would take care of him. Verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why does God lead us in paths of righteousness, of obedience to him? Because it leads us to an easier life. If you live your life in righteousness, it's an easier life than living your life in sin, because with sin comes penalties, physical penalties that we experience now, but even greater spiritual penalties that will have to be atoned for one way or the other later on. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So he knew that his shepherd, Jesus Christ, would provide protection. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And he's saying, the blessings in my relationship with you, my great shepherd, is more than I can even hold. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's what each of us, you and I, enjoy in our relationship with God. Endless mercies. Constant forgiveness for our shortcomings and our failings and our sins. And they are with us unless we reject it all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, David understood who Jesus Christ is, who the shepherd is, who gives us the great comfort that we enjoy. And he recognized the good things that come from Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we recognize the good things that come from Jesus Christ and God the Father as well. Especially this time of year heading in to the fall holy days. In a prophecy of the coming Christ, Isaiah perfectly describes our Savior. Isaiah 40, verse 11. You can turn there if you like. I'll just go ahead and read it. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That's the light burden that Jesus Christ offers to all that will nurture a relationship with him and his Father. With all the evil and the aggression that we experience every day of the week, it is very important that we don't lose the image of the gentle Savior that we have. You see, if you experience aggression day in and day out, it can affect you in such a way that you start thinking, well, God is aggressive to me as well, especially because of my sins. I know he can't be happy with my sins, and he's not happy with our sins. God and Jesus Christ are never happy with sin. But they're gentle and merciful in their forgiveness. Jesus Christ is not aggressive towards us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. One final verse in this point to depict the nature of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. In other words, he sits at God's throne. He is harmless. He is holy. He is undefiled. There's no sin that has corrupted him. But he is holy and harmless towards us. The second point in today's sermon on looking how to properly handle aggression is become sensitive to aggression. The second point, become sensitive to aggression. Being aggressive towards others causes harm. It doesn't bring peace. It harms that person emotionally, and it could harm that person spiritually. If we're too aggressive, even to our children, it could hurt them spiritually, because we are the image of our Father in heaven to our kids. We can hurt other people spiritually by our aggressiveness. If others, let's say at work or at school, know that we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, and yet they witness aggressiveness on a regular basis, does that or could that hurt them spiritually? It could. It could affect their whole impression of what it means for a person to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. As we saw back in Philippians, we are to be lights of the world in the way of being harmless. In fact, in Philippians 2:15, we've already read it, I'll just quote from it briefly. It says that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Having that kind of atmosphere around us every day can cause us to become desensitized to aggression, desensitized towards evil. And if you become desensitized towards aggression that is around you, it's very easy for you to adopt that same aggressiveness. And that's what we have to be on guard against. That's what we have to be careful to look out for. So we have to become sensitive towards aggression. If we are becoming desensitized to aggression, then we need to wake up and become very aware of the aggression that is around us. And especially if it looks like it will involve us. If it looks like we might become involved in aggression from someone else, we need to be able to recognize that quickly. Because the first time you witness it and you see somebody coming at you and you know that they're coming at you aggressively and you can sense it, if you have an option, stand, resist, and fight back, or to walk away from it. to flee it when you see it coming. And usually, it's not our natural tendency to turn and walk away from it. Usually, when a person is under attack, human nature says, fight back. Defend yourself. They're wrong. But that's not what God's Spirit tells us to do, as we'll see as we go through some more scriptures throughout the sermon. I would encourage you to take one day in your life. It might be tomorrow, it might be next week. And really pay attention to the aggression that goes on around you, out in this world, out in society. Really take note of it when you're driving, when you're in the grocery store, when you're at school. And I know, kids, you see it at school. Aggression thrives in school. Because the more aggressive you are, the more people are fearful of you, and that puts you on an elite stature among your peers. I know my kids have a tendency to think I was never a kid. But I remember back in school, and the tough guys were always the ones everybody looked to, and always the ones you stayed away from, and always the ones that you tried to be buddies with, because you felt if you were buddies with them, they wouldn't turn that aggression towards you. But take a day in your life and really pay attention to the aggression that goes on around you. One time, this was years ago, I was driving home, and for some reason I think it was in the middle of the day, and I was completely minding my own business, obeying all the traffic laws. As far as I knew, I was the only one in the world. I didn't notice anybody else around me. I was just driving home. And I was coming out off of, I think it's called Colonel Glenn right there, where it comes into 35. And I was getting ready to get on 35 and head east towards Xenia. And there's a series of traffic lights there. And I pulled up to this traffic light. And I happened to just casually look in my rearview mirror, and some guy's getting out of his car coming right at me. And he is as mad as I've ever seen anybody mad. And he comes up, and he's got some club or something in his hand. And he stands right at my driver's side window, and he's going, rah, 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 rah. He didn't say what I did, if I did anything to tick him off. I had no idea what was wrong with this guy. And I have no idea what it was. And he's just screaming inch from my glass window on the side of my car. And I said, and I just put it in drive, the light turned green, and I drove off, and he's standing right there in the traffic in 4-lane highway. Crazy. I don't know what happened to it. He was crazy. He was mad, I know that. Not too long ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in a Kroger's, and I don't know if you've ever noticed it anymore, but you know, they have the big wide double doors that say enter, and then they have a whole other set that says exit, which nobody pays attention to. And you got people going in the outs and outs the ins, and I was going in the out. No, I wasn't really. I was going in the store through the double doors, and all of a sudden this guy comes flying around the corner with his cart, and he was just ready to mow people down if they didn't get out of their way. And I thought, even that is an aggressive approach to just going out of the store. He was in his car, comes around the corner. I had to get back and go back like this and let him go through. It's amazing what's out in the world. I was, this goes back about 5 weeks, and I was working in the city of Oakwood, and I've got a pickup truck that the city gives me to use to perform my daily duties. And there was this quiet stretch of neighborhood, and we've got contractors pouring concrete, and they had moved out of this section of town, but I noticed they had one of their construction cones sitting there and a fairly small pile of broken up concrete. And I had told them before that they needed to go back and pick it up, and they said, yeah, they would. But I happened to be driving through there, and I saw it again, so I thought, well, I'll just stop and load it in the back of my truck and get rid of it for them. So I pull up. Of course, it's just a 2-lane road, and there's parking on both sides of the streets. And I pulled up. There was a car parked here, and I pulled up kind of bumper to bumper to him, and I was in the wrong lane, but there was no traffic anywhere. I was in the wrong lane. I put my emergency flashers on, and I get out, and I grab a shovel, and I drop my tailgate, and I start shoveling up this concrete, and I get one load dumped on my tailgate, and about a block away, these blocks are about 400 feet long, so about 400 feet from me, I hear this, burp, a horn beeping, and I didn't pay attention to it, and I go and scoop another one, come back, and I hear this, burp, and I look up, and he's a block away from me, and there's a whole cross section of interstate, or not interstate, of roadway between us with a stop sign. He's honking at me 200 feet before he even got to the stop sign. Because I was parked with my truck with emergency lights on in the wrong lane of traffic, so to speak. Just trying to lessen my load of scooping. I was only going to be there 30 seconds. So, and I continued, and I ignored him. I didn't even know he was honking at me at the time. I looked up when I saw it, and I thought, what's he honking at? So I went back and got the stuff, and I dumped it in my truck. Well, I was blocking in his lane, but he could get around me. You know, I wasn't stopping traffic, I'll say it that way. So I continue to do my business. He comes up very slowly and gets right next to my tailgate and hammers on the horn again. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. It's not like I was slowing him down. He had full rite of passage right up around me. All he had to do was turn the steering wheel this much. It's just aggressiveness for no sense. But you see it all the time. We need to be on guard to make sure that we don't allow situations like that, and even worse situations, to wear off on us, to affect us, so that we can become just as aggressive towards others. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I knew if I did, my job was on the line, so I just continued to shovel concrete, gave him a little wave, and moved on with life. But he wasn't happy. But the point is, too many people live their life on the edge, waiting to lash out when something doesn't go their way. They live right on the edge, and they're just waiting to vent their frustration and their anger and their aggression towards other people. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Here Christ tells us the mission that he has set us out to accomplish. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Sheep. He calls us sheep. What was Jesus Christ called by John? The Lamb of God. Jesus Christ saying, "I send you out to be just like me, to be sheep in the midst of wolves." Christ didn't say, "I send you out to be wolves amongst wolves." He said, "I've sent you out to be sheep amongst wolves." And that is difficult. Because being quiet when that guy was honking at me was the last thing I wanted to do. Inside my mind's going, defend, defend, defend. Verse 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues." So difficult times are going to come. And when the difficult times come, when guys are honking at you for no reason, shaking rods at your car window for no reason that you know of, we need to be harmless. That is the time to be harmless, to set the example, to be the light to the world. Even, unfortunately, within the house of God at times, there are those that can cause contention, strife, that can have aggression in their personalities. And when they do, they're not living within the Spirit of God. That's not a good thing. When somebody comes aggressively within the body of Jesus Christ. But sometimes it happens. And when they come that way, they're not coming out of love and concern within the body. They're coming to do harm. to cause harm to others, to weaken the faith of others. And we're told how to deal with that from God's Word as well. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17. Paul said, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them." He doesn't say to argue with them, to go nose to nose with them, to fight against them. He says to avoid them. Turn away when some come with an aggressive posture towards God's way, towards His truth, or within the body. Avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand where their heart is set. Be sensitive to recognizing it so you don't get caught up in the middle of it. But they serve their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, if you get involved, if you start arguing back and forth and you don't avoid them, which is the instruction, and you get entangled in it, that's what can happen. You can become deceived and cause problems with your spiritual life. Satan is always trying to stir us up and cause us to be harmful to others. We must avoid that kind of confrontation, that kind of aggression. The third point in today's sermon, and this is where my notes say point two. Harmlessness begins in our mind. Harmlessness begins in our mind. Back in Matthew chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him." And then in verse 15 it says, "But when Jesus knew it," what did He do? Did He set His heels in and get ready for a fight? No, He did not. It says, "But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from there." He was sensitive to the aggression that was coming around Him. And when He sensed it, it says, when He knew it, what did He do? He withdrew Himself from there. He withdrew from the fight that was coming, from the danger that was coming. He did just the opposite of what human nature desires to do, to stand and fight and defend. In Luke chapter 6, verse 11, this is just Luke's account of Matthew 12, it says, "But they were filled with rage," is how Luke describes the Pharisees. It says, "They were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." It tells a little more about the Pharisees and their approach to Jesus Christ as they sought to destroy Him. But they were filled with rage. When Christ's enemies were filled with hate, what was Christ filled with? He was filled with love. He was filled with real love from the heart, a sincere love. Not just for those that liked Him, but Christ had sincere love even for His darkest enemies. Only true sincere love can allow you to live your life with no desire to harm anyone. That is true, real love for everyone. Not just those in your family, not just those in your church, not just those that you go to school with, but real life, a real love is a love for all people. That's what Jesus Christ had, even for His worst enemies. Being a harmless person begins in our mind and learning to love everyone. And you have to learn how to love everyone. It's not something that comes natural to us. But it should be pouring out from us by the Spirit of God. You see, harmlessness is a part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And the fruit of God's Holy Spirit is called gentleness. Gentleness is a part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, and that is true harmlessness towards others. If you are gentle with everyone else or with all people, then you are being harmless to them. That's what gentleness is all about. All actions and words come from our heart, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Just as a reference, Matthew 15, verse 18. Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. If they come from the heart, they defile a man. In verse 19 of the same chapter, Matthew 15, for out of your heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So how do we handle harmful people and harmful situations? How do we handle harmful people or harmful situations? It takes me to my fourth point. Turn from aggression. Turn from aggression. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. Proverbs 27, verse 12. It says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. A lot of wisdom in Proverbs 27, verse 12, in dealing with aggression. A prudent man or a wise man foresees the evil coming his way. That's what Jesus Christ did. He foresaw the evil and he turned and left it. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Just doesn't leave, but hides away from it so that the evil cannot find him. The aggression cannot find him. But those that live and act upon human nature, which is stand and fight, stand and resist, stand and defend, there's a wisdom for that as well. It says the simple pass on and are punished. Or, in other words, suffer the consequences of moving forward towards aggression. You move towards aggression. If I would have gotten out of my car with a guy standing over me with he was an older gentleman too, had with a club in his hand, if I would have passed on, I might have passed on with a lump upside my head. It's better for me to flee and leave him standing in traffic. When faced with aggression, Christ quietly withdrew himself. Matthew 12, verse 14. I'll read this as well without turning to it. Matthew 12, verse 14. When the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him. But as I said earlier, Jesus knew it and he withdrew from there. He fled from them. Time and time again, evil, aggressive nature of some of the Pharisees and Jews would attempt to confront Jesus. They did it over and over. They would devise plans and questions to trick him. And they worked hard to find a means to falsely accuse Jesus Christ. No matter how much evil they poured out upon him, he never, not once, did he ever return evil for their evil. And when Christ sensed that their questions were turning evil, evil and aggressiveness towards him, he would quietly leave. You can find it in numerous places in Scripture. He didn't stay around to do battle with them or to try to embarrass them. He could have. Jesus Christ had all knowledge, all understanding. He could have verbally put them in their place anytime he wanted to. So why didn't he? Because he had that real sincere love for even his enemies. It wasn't Christ's desire to embarrass the Pharisees or the Jews. It was his desire that they would repent of their way and turn to a right way of life, to love. Jesus Christ didn't want to, or didn't desire or want to see anybody hurt or harmed. And you can hurt a person with your words. It just doesn't have to be with a club. There's a number of different ways to cause harm to people. Jesus Christ didn't even do it with his tongue. He turned and left whenever it faced itself, whenever it presented itself to him. Let's notice a few other examples of Christ fleeing confrontation. John chapter 7, verse 1. Again, I'll just read these if you want to put them in your notes. John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. So he purposefully didn't even go to a city, because he knew that the aggression was there, looking for him. John chapter 11, verse 53 and 54. John chapter 11, verse 53 and 54 says, "Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples." So he went to a safe place. He hid himself, just as it talked about in Proverbs, that a wise man will hide himself from evil, from aggressiveness. Jesus completely avoided the spirit of aggression as much as he could until he knew it was time for him to face it, to endure the aggression. But he never went face to face with his enemies, arguing and disputing. With a red face and a pointing finger, it just didn't happen. We are to do the same. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 3. Kind of jumps into the story here. But it says, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth." See, when you conduct yourself in that way, it shows that you're even destitute of the truth. And the truth is what came from Jesus Christ. That is what truth is. Continuing in verse 5, "Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself." The simple point here is when you see this type of person, withdraw yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. We all consider ourselves servants of the Lord, servants of God. Verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance." And that is exactly the desire of Jesus Christ. That's why when he did correct, when he did set records straight of false accusations against him, he did it in humility, hoping that his enemies would repent. Continuing on in verse 25 there, it says, "If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken by him to do his will." That's the attitude that we want to stay away from. One that has been captured by Satan to do his bidding. You see, when Satan has you in an aggressive state of mind, attacking others, he's got you right where he wants you, to do his bidding, to do his will, to do harm to others. And Satan wants to harm everyone. God and Jesus Christ want to harm no one. That's why it's important for us to flee aggression so that we don't get caught up in it. When faced with confrontation, and you confront anybody out in the world, they're going to want to stand and fight against you. That is why we have wars and fighting in this entire world. Nobody wants to turn away from aggression. But that is what we are to do. So many in this world lust and desire what others have. And when you lust and desire what someone else has, it's going to lead to confrontations. If you don't desire what someone else has, desire something that someone else has, then you're not going to confront them. Too often, fights and disputes and arguments come from a lust and a jealousy of what others have. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Right there it talks about the disputing and aggressiveness comes from within man. Because of lust and a jealousy of what others have. It doesn't matter whether it's a better spot in traffic to even jealousy within the body of Christ. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is. James chapter 3. Let's go back a page. James chapter 3. Verse 13 through 18. Those that are wise conduct themselves differently. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, if you see that in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth, saying, "Oh, everything's fine with me. I believe in Jesus Christ and follow His way." That's lying and boasting against the truth, because the truth is what's in your heart. If your heart is not pure and clean, then you are not pure and clean with God and Jesus Christ. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Verse 16, for every envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. And that is tough, willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So if you flee and turn from aggression, you're sowing peace, and it is the fruit of righteousness coming out of you. We need to make sure that when faced with aggression, that we turn and go the opposite way and bear the fruits of righteousness. Be peacemakers, true peacemakers, in the face of aggression. What God has called us to is not always easy, because we're flesh and blood. Because at times we must walk against our human nature, against our human desires, to do what we're taught by Jesus Christ and God the Father as being different, as being harmless, as Christ was harmless. It's not easy to yield to others that want to take what we have. That's not easy. We must yield. We must give to those that want to take from us. Human nature, as I mentioned before, wants to stand, to fight, to defend, to keep secure what we have. God's Spirit tells us to yield in a loving concern for them. Yield in a loving concern. So why do we have to go against our human nature? Why do we have to do these things? Why do we have to live a harmless life? Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In other words, that's the natural desire. Love your neighbor, but hate the person that hates you. But I say to you, love your enemies. This is Jesus Christ's own words here. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Didn't Jesus Christ do that by not fighting with them? When someone comes aggressively towards you and you turn away, that is a blessing to them. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, life is going to continue for all men. Good and bad on us all. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We are to be harmless. That word perfect there, if you look it up in the Greek, means complete. Therefore you shall be complete. You see, if we reacted just like the rest of the world, just like if we are just like the rest of the world where it talks about the sun rising on all men, so all men are common in that way. When the rains fall on all men, so in that way we are common, we are all the same. But when we live as Jesus Christ has instructed us and as we've been called to, it makes us different. It makes us complete as a person. Perfect as Jesus Christ was and the Father is in heaven. Or complete, depending on what word you prefer to use there. But it completes you. It makes you the perfect person. Not that you are perfect in character and righteousness. I mean, you are through God's and Jesus Christ's Spirit living in you. But you are a complete person when you live your life according to the instructions of Jesus Christ. And it makes you harmless, just as our Father in heaven is harmless.